Bibles this morning, Acts chapter 8. Let me ask you this question. Why do people believe? There's some reasons why people believe in Christ. Why they put their faith and trust in Christ. You'll notice in this passage, in Acts chapter 8, in verse number 31, he asks the question, how can I understand, except some man should guide me? I want to ask you this morning, simple question. This Christmas season, who are you guiding? Will somebody believe because of you? I want you to notice, I go through scripture, there's five reasons why people believe. Notice number one, a great home, a spiritual home. If you have your Bible, flip over just a couple of pages to Acts chapter 10. And notice with me, if you would, in verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house. Here's a man that's unsaved, but his house is with him. He has somehow been able to get his family to realize there is a God in heaven. I don't know his name. I don't know who he is, but I'm working to find out. And when we find out, we all want to worship him together. And so good homes allow children, wives, and husbands to be saved. I think perhaps the greatest influence that causes people to believe is a spiritual home. If I were to ask this morning, how many of you were saved because of your home? Would you raise your hand? All over. Look at all the hands. Okay? A great host of people. Now, you'll notice Cornelius, look if you would, in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 31. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Notice if you would in verse number 33. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Now look over to chapter 11 and verse number 14. And Peter recounts the story. And he says unto them, he showed unto us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. So this home was the mechanism that God used to see his entire family saved. What is your home like today? Is your home one that points everyone in it to Christ? Now, it can be. You'll notice, I think the greatest key to that is fathers. Cornelius prayed for he and his family to find out about God. I don't know that the family was all of that concerned, but because of his burden, they took on the burden to say, we want to know who this God is that Dad's talking about. The number one reason why people believe is a good home, is a spiritual home, is a home where the father does what's right and where the mother does what's right. They bring their children to church and they read the scriptures and they talk about the things of the Lord. That is the number one reason why people trust Christ as Savior. It'll be the number one reason why people are in heaven. Because it was passed on. Are you passing your faith on to your family? Now, in this particular passage, the father wasn't even saved. But he knew there was a God that he didn't know, and he wanted to find out about him. And the Lord says, I'll bless you for that. And he sent a preacher, Peter, to tell him the story of Christ. And the Bible says that night they all were saved and baptized because they put their faith and trust in Christ. They were ready. You must, as families in this room, make an atmosphere for your family husbands, wives, children, anyone that's not saved, to realize there is a God and you represent him well. Even though Cornelius was unsaved, he had a spirituality about him. He had a concern about the Lord. He didn't know who he was, so he couldn't actually direct his family, but his influence was undeniable in his home. How's your influence? How's the influence of every father in this room? You can make a difference. If your wife is not saved, you can make a difference. If you're a wife in this room, your husband's not saved, you can make a difference. 1 Peter chapter 3 says that. How many of you, your father was the greatest influence in your life, spiritually? Raise your hand. Okay? You see a few. Watch this. How many of you, your mother was the greatest influence in your life, spiritually? Raise your hand. Now, wait a minute. Fathers? Up high, up high. Down. Mothers. Did you see that? Mothers, I don't think this is the way it's supposed to be. But I think it's the reality. Mothers are today having a greater influence than fathers. That's not the Lord's plan. But it is a reality in most cases. All the fathers in this room, it's not competition. It is your responsibility to say, Lord, I want my family to know about you. The number one influence on why people believe is the home. Number two influence as to why people believe. Notice, if you would, in the example, Acts chapter 8, it's of a soul winner. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 31, he that winneth souls is wise. So in other words, you can win somebody to Christ. You can sit down with somebody, talk about the things of the Lord, take your Bible and share with them how Christ can forgive them and take them to heaven when they die. Every person in this room can do that. Teenagers, moms and dads, it's another reason why people get saved. In this particular instance, this is a preacher. He's been having revival in this town in Samaria. I mean, people are getting saved all over. Notice Acts chapter 8, if you would, notice this. Look in verse number 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. In verse number 8, and there was great joy in that city. There were people being saved all over. Now, why is it that God said, okay, Philip, I want you to stop preaching in the city where thousands are being saved, and I want you to go into the desert? Notice what happens. Look, if you would, in verse number 26. In verse 26, angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, rise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Can you believe that God would take a man out of a revival and take him to the desert where nobody is, except one man? You want to know why? God does this frequently. Because one man and his soul, one woman and her soul, one child and his soul is worth more than the world to him. So you and I say, well, yeah, but surely thousands would be more important than one. To the Lord, I would give the whole world for one. That is why you and I must always be sensitive to the leading of God's Spirit, because you don't know where God is leading you to reach that one. How many of you were led to Christ personally by someone? Raise your hand. You see all the hands? That's just about second on the list. Now, many of you were led to Christ by a mother or dad, but I'm talking about somebody knocks on your door, somebody at work, somebody outside of church, but they just had an influence on you. a soul winner. Now, all of us in this room are supposed to be soul winners. We're supposed to care about the individuals of this world. That is how they believe. He even asked the question. He says, how can I except some man should guide me? Do you understand all of you in this room are guides if you know Christ as Savior? You're not just here to be a computer programmer. You're not just here to play in the orchestra. You're not just here to engineer some design into space. You're not just here to wire some guy's house or to plumb some big building. You're a soul winner. God needs you. This is the Christmas season. We're all His servants, and if you know Christ as Savior, He may say, Dave Pittman, I want you to go into the desert. My wife and I thought that's what He was doing to us when He said, I want you to leave the Holy Land, the holy place, Texas, and I want you to go to Washington, D.C., Virginia. I didn't even know where it was. I know, I'm telling you the truth. I said, Virginia? Yeah, I know that's a state, but are there any people there? I'd never been to Virginia in my life. Didn't know it existed. I said, Lord, do I have to go to the desert? That's what I thought this was. And when I came here, did you know the road in front of the church was just a two-lane highway? And there was woods across the street? Did you know there was only one restaurant in town? The Black Eyed Pea. That was it. That when we came up to candidate for the church, that's where they took us every meal. Black Eyed Pea, Black Eyed Pea, Black Eyed Pea. It's the only place there was. Black Eyed Pea. Pastor, would you like to go out to eat? Sure. We're going to take you to the Black Eyed Pea. Okay. Then another deacon, we're going to take you out to the Black Eyed Pea. Okay. I got it. There's not much here. It's a desert. And then all of a sudden, you know, I came from Dallas where they got every kind of place you can imagine. Malls on every corner. It was kind of a deliverance to get away from all those malls. I have to admit that. But we came up here and there were no restaurants. There was no place to eat. You had to fix it yourself. If you're going to eat. It's a desert. And I thought it was the desert. And you know, not necessarily does it have to be a literal desert like Philip went to. You could just think you're the only one there. But God has you there for a purpose. You know, this Christmas season, how can I accept some man or woman should guide me? Could be your purpose. And probably is. That's why these tracts are so important. How can I accept some man should guide me? Do you understand that? Would you like for me to sit down and explain that to you? You may be shocked to hear somebody say, I sure would. The Ethiopian eunuch, you know who this guy was? He was the second in command in his country. He's riding in a chariot by himself. He's been to church and doesn't understand. He's been to the Jewish synagogue and he's got a copy of the scriptures. You know how much that was worth? Only rich people had those. So he's filthy rich. He's riding alone in his chariot and he's hungry for the gospel. And God says, I'm going to take care of that. God always sends Christians to people that are hungry, even if they're the only one in the desert. That's God's promise. Now, let me ask you this. What is your importance? If you have your Bible, quickly, turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Just a book back. Romans chapter 10. Let me ask you this question. This is not a theory question. It's a practical question. Verse 13, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. So anybody can get saved. Anybody can have their sin washed away and have a home in heaven. However, there is a tool that needs to be in place. Verse 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So somebody's got to help them believe. I'm going to get into this a little bit more in a minute. But notice this. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You are a voice. You are the guide. I am the guide. I'm a voice. Now watch this. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, everybody in this room, you're a preacher. or a preacheress. You tell the story of the gospel. Now listen very carefully. And if you don't, they won't be saved. Ezekiel chapter 3 says, watchmen, if you cease to warn the wicked from his wicked way, he'll die in his iniquity without hope, but his blood will I require at your hand. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what that means. Studied it, read it, 40 years, don't know what it means. I have an idea. At the great white throne judgment, sinners are only ones there. Christians, we're there because Christ is there. We never leave him, but we're not on trial. But I perhaps think that somebody that was in the desert and the Holy Spirit touched your heart and said, I want you to go give him a tract. Oh, Lord, I don't like giving out tracts. I don't want to be a witness. I don't want to tell people about the Lord. I'm shy, but I need you. No. You have blood on your hands. But Pastor, I'm just a regular church member. No, you're a voice piece. You're a mouthpiece. You're a guide. Everybody here. You cannot ignore it. If you've trusted Christ and you're on your way to heaven, is it right for you to say, I'm going and I don't need to take anybody else with me? Do you realize without us, there are not preachers sent to the mission field? Do you realize how important that is to have a missionary call to go to the mission field? It's critical. The world is lost. Without a preacher, how can they believe? That's why it's important. AJ Runkle's over here, our missionary to Belize, and his wife, Brittany, without them, the people of Belize, there'd be people there that would not have heard the gospel any other way. How shall they hear without a preacher? Read it. That's why we give to missions. It's not because we think you got extra money, I got extra money, and we want to distribute it around and feel good about ourselves. People are dying today on Christmas season without the knowledge of Christ and without hope. It's important that we give. It's important that we sacrifice. It's important that you're willing to go like Philip. The AJs and Brittany's are important. The Tim and Beth Manises are important. The Kristen Dows are important. The Tammy Arans are important because they're going to go tell people that otherwise would flounder around and would ride in their chariots through the desert and nobody says, do you understand what you read? No. How can I unless someone should guide me? You're the guide. You'd be a soul winner today. Philip did that. Notice what happens. And down in verse, if you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 8. And notice if you would in verse number 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. In verse 37, and Philip said, verse 36, the last phrase said, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it went down both. And notice if you would in verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So here this eunuch has gotten saved. The Lord sent a preacher into the desert, back to the revival, and just in a moment of time, he's in and out. And Philip arose and went and was willing to go. Are you willing to be a testimony at work? I'm not saying you can get your Bible and witness to everybody at work, but if you have a testimony, people will come to you when they have a question, when they're in hard times. How many of you have ever had someone at your work because of your testimony? Now, you're not bragging on yourself, but if you just do what's right, you're going to get something on your back called testimony. If you do what's right, you're going to gain something called reputation. You're going to gain something called respect. Not because you're anything, but because Jesus Christ has made us something. He's changed our lives. And so today, as you go at work and all of a sudden there and somebody says, will you come to church with me? I'm concerned about your soul. You may not have to say that, but that's the motivation for getting them to come because you love them and you want them to die and go to heaven with you. How can I except some man should guide me? You're a soul winner this morning. That's the number two reason. Notice quickly, number three reason. Some believe because others have a changed life. Look with me, if you would, Acts, flip back over to John chapter 4. John, St. John chapter 4, notice this. In verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all things that ever I did. And verse, notice verse number 41. And many more believed because of his own word and said unto him, the woman that would not, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we are heard him for ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now let me tell you this. This woman had had five husbands, was living in adultery. Jesus meets her at the well at noontime. He's exhausted. It's a tiring time. He's dusty. He's hot. He has no pot to get the water with from the well. She pulls him up some water. And while he's got this water in his hand, he says, you know, I got water to give you that cause you to never thirst again. She says, what? You don't even have a pot to draw with. He says, yeah, but I can give it to you from my heart to yours. And boy, he began to witness to her. And then all of a sudden he got to her heart when he said, go call your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. He said, yeah, I know. You've had five of them. And the one you're living with is not yours now. And she looked at him and says, you're a prophet, aren't you? And at the end of it, she said, you're not a prophet. You're a Messiah. And she put her faith and trust in him, and it changed her life instantly. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so she became a new creature right there. She goes running back into the town and says, townsmen, men, women, listen, come see the Messiah, a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And everybody looked at her and said, isn't that that wicked woman? But something's different about her. And you know what? They said, let's go and see. What caused them to follow the worst woman in town? She was different. The changed life always has an effect. When all of a sudden you walk right, your life is powerful. Not because you made it so, but because he takes you and makes your life an effective tool for him that people will listen. If you have your Bible, turn to Titus chapter 3 and notice verse 8. Now, Titus is in the back of your Bible. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. You'll notice it. You might want to underline this verse. It's a great verse. Notice, if you would, verse number 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And notice this, down in verse number 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou art firm constantly. Titus, I want you, you're the preacher, I want you to always tell people this and bring it up all the time. They which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Why? Why is me doing what's right profitable for you? Because you're willing to listen that there's somebody that made my life different. A changed life has power. You go to work and you talk like everybody else with the same curse words on the sly, or the same jokes, or the same off-color things, or you do things like that, nobody's going to listen to you about Jesus. He must have made a difference. A changed life affects everybody. Let me ask you this question. How many of you saw a changed life and it affected you and you started coming to Christ or started asking questions and as a result got saved? Now watch, there won't be a lot. How many of you got saved because of a changed life? Raise your hand. Raise it up. All right. Now let me ask this question. Now watch this. How old were you when you got saved, Paul? 32. Not because of a home, not because of a soul winner, but he's older. Brother Bill, how old were you when you got saved? 28. Not a teenager, not a child. Got saved because they saw a changed life. Afifi? Do you see, as people get older, the only thing that does it is a changed life. That's why once somebody gets past the age of 21, you're not going to reach them unless you're different. And if you're different, you give the power to the gospel of Christ and they say, wow, what caused that? I'm willing to listen. And so people get saved because of a changed life. Oh, not that our changed lives and our good works saves them, but it opens up our eyes and it's profitable to them to listen. Teenagers, you can have good works and make your life profitable. And other kids that come from unsafe homes and bad homes and abusive homes maybe can say, you know, something different about that guy. Do you have a changed life today? Do you live right? Do you have good and profitable works? Profitable not necessarily to you. Oh, you may not think it is, but there's profit about it. Oh, you don't get paid for it, but when you step foot inside heaven at the judgment seat of Christ, that's payday. Do we deserve it? No. But it's coming. There's always a blessing for doing what is right. Do you have a changed life tonight? Notice this quickly. And some believe because of reason. Because someone sat down with them and took the scriptures and reasoned with them. Now, this is not necessarily a changed life. Oh, I don't think you can reason with someone without a changed life. But they're not affected so much by the change of life, except they're willing to listen. There are some people that are just harder, and they're from Missouri. Show me. They want to see it. Look here. Notice this group. Turn to Acts chapter 17, and notice this passage. Acts chapter 17, and notice verse 2. Acts chapter 17, verse 2. And you'll notice, and as Paul, as his manner was, went unto them and 3 days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And notice verse 5, but the Jews which believed not. So, you don't win a lot of people. I remember in my lifetime, I have led 2 or 3 people to Christ by taking the scriptures and proving to them that Jesus is the Christ. Because they said to me, if you can prove to me that Jesus is real and is the Savior and is the Christ, I will put my faith and trust in him. And I remember 2 that actually did that. One man went to our church, has moved away, his whole family's been saved. Wonderful story. But it's not often. But let me ask this question. Is it worth it? Is it worth it for you to know the scriptures so well that you can open them up and allege and prove and show that Jesus is Christ and that he died to save them? Yes. But you know what? Very few Christians can. We come to church, but we're not prepared to prove Jesus is real. You see, there's a different level of affecting people. Oh, the scientist that says, you got to prove it to me. The Missourian that says, you got to show it to me. The person that's had some bad experiences and has seen Christians do what's right and then go off the end of the table and not do what's right and say, I don't believe in that stuff. It's not real. I see a bunch of hypocrites, but I'll be willing to listen if you can prove it to me. Can you prove it? Can you show people out of the scriptures that your faith is real? You can, but are you able to? And then lastly, very quickly, there are some because others are not broken under trial. Notice if you would, if you have your Bible, turn to Acts 16, just a page back. Notice with me, you would, verse 22, Acts 16:22, the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, into the deepest dungeon. And notice this, and he made their feet fast in the stocks. So he takes these, whoever they are, hooligans, and he takes them and they're beaten to within an inch of their life. They've received 39 stripes. They've been beaten really good. And their backs are bloodied and their shirts are off. And they're in chains, and he takes them in, not just to the normal prison, but down into the dungeon, to the place where the rats and all kinds of things are. And it's a filthy place. They put their feet in stocks and they're there and they've got nothing to look forward to. And Paul looks at Silas and says, what do you want to do, Silas? Silas says, well, I tell you, the Lord's been good to us, hasn't he? Let's sing. Oh, how I love Jesus. What? That soldier that was guarding them, what are they doing there? Singing? I'm sure he looked in that little door. What is wrong with them? They've lost their minds. I saw them beaten up. And they said it was because they were telling about this one Jesus who everybody says is a fake. But how do you sing after that? I wonder if I could have what they have. If I could be strong during testing. And so some of you have health issues or financial issues or personal issues. And through them all, you sing. And the world says, what have they got that I don't have? Then all of a sudden, the doors are open and the jailer wakes up and he's gone to sleep, sung to sleep by Paul and Silas, I presume. Wow, what beautiful music. Doors wake up. He wakes up, the doors are all open. He takes his sword out and does the right thing. He's going to kill himself, because it's such a shame for him to have lost a prisoner. And he sees all the doors open and assumes they're all gone. And notice, if you would, in verse number 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Does the world see you with joy in the midst of sorrow? It makes an eternal difference. All of a sudden, verse 27, the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. And Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What power? You know, I think one of the most powerful things is joy under stress. It's when you can smile and sing when your heart's breaking, because you know your Heavenly Father is making no mistakes. Today, let me ask you a question. Are you the right kind of guide? Are you one of the five reasons why somebody is going to heaven this Christmas season? It's your choice. You can say, I'm not going to worry about it. But your hands will have blood on them. There'll be people at the great white throne that'll be able to see you and say, oh, why didn't you tell me? Today, are you one of the five reasons my people believe? Are you going through some difficult times? Now, folks, it's nothing wrong going through difficult times. We all must do that. It is called life. It is what the Lord uses to make us stronger, to make us more like Him, to prove our love for Him. But I'll tell you this, it breaks most Christians. Today, is there joy in your heart? Are you going through some hard times? I would remind you that the proper order, if you are going through hard times, is number one, Look with me from verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They poured their heart out to the Lord. They talked to the Lord. They said, Lord, I don't know what's happening, but I trust you, Lord. My back hurts. Could you please help my back to get better? But Lord, not my will, yours be done. I want you to know I love you. And they finished praying, and Paul looked at Silas. Silas looked at Paul. Don't know which one. Let's sing. And they began to sing. It's in that order. Prayer and joy. Because you know he made no mistake in your life. Today, let me ask you, are you one of the guides that leads people to heaven? Oh, by the way, did you know that history tells us, there's some historical evidences, not a lot, that that Ethiopian eunuch went back to his town and won much of his country to Christ. Became a pastor. Made a difference. Because one man went to the desert. Are you willing to go any place for the Lord? Do anything for the Lord? Sing during hard times? Do what's right when other people don't? Are you one of the five reasons why somebody's going to trust Christ this Christmas? It's your choice. Let's bow our heads forward to prayer this morning. Are you the reason? Are you the reason? I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn today. Are you the reason? Are you being profitable to others? Do you have good works? We're going to have a word of prayer and stand to sing. And if you need to come, page 400, take my life and let it be consecrated to thee. Would you come today? Lord, here I am. I want you to use me. I want to be a reason. Now, folks, today it's Christmas. Give the Lord a present. Give him your dedication. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Would you let me pray for you today? Nobody's looking around, but would you raise your hand? Let me just see it. I'm looking and I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I sure want to pray for you. I'm concerned for your soul. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm just thinking about it. I'm concerned. I'm thinking about it. Would you let me pray for you? Slip it up real quickly, all over the building. Just put it up and right back down, quickly. I'm just not certain I'm on my way to heaven. There's some doubt. Would you let me pray for you? Quickly, all through the building. Maybe you're here today and you say this, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've never been scripturally baptized. Yes, I see the one hand that needs salvation. Just saw it. Is there another hand for I need to be baptized. I've never been scripturally baptized. I need to take care of that. Why don't you come this morning? Maybe you're here today and you're looking for a church home. You say, Pastor, I think this is where the Lord would have us. We'd love to have you. This is a sweet place with very sweet people. We're not perfect, but boy, we sure want to do what's right. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not the reason for anybody that I know of right now to trust, but I want to be. Why don't you come and dedicate your life today to make a difference this Christmas season? Lord Jesus, would you touch our people's hearts? Lord, would you touch every person in this room's heart? Help us to leave this morning saying, I want to be the reason somebody trusts Christ. Lord, would you use us, whether it be works or voice or testimony? Lord, help us today.